Good evening and welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew, and today's date is Tuesday, April 30th, 2013. And here's a look at some of our top stories.
Tonight, the Government Accountability Office is now investigating the large ammo purchases made by the DHS. Meanwhile, the backlog on gun orders hits 2 million. Then, video footage from the scene of the shootout with the alleged Boston bombers appears to contain audio of the suspects screaming out, "We didn't do it," as police fire on the two brothers. Plus, a video of a verbal clash between a foul-mouthed Boston resident and InfoWars reporter Dan Bedondi goes viral and even mainstream.
That's because you're a dope. And what you say is dangerous, and people like you shouldn't be able to drive a car, much less espouse your opinions in public.
Rob Dew confronts the man behind the camera up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Just a quick reminder, if you're watching this live at 7 p.m. Central, you have about 7 hours to get your Paul Revere InfoWars contest, video contest entry in by midnight Pacific time. So be sure you get that in. You don't want to miss out, especially if you've been working very hard on it. There it is. InfoWars launches Operation Paul Revere. Look at those rules just before you send it in. Remember, you got to have it in two places. So, and then you send your email to paulrevere@infowars.com. So don't miss out. If there's been a lot of entries pouring in, this is going to be a lot of fun to go through. But now we're going to go to the news. First story, Boston bombers during shootout. We didn't do it. Audio feeds suspicions brothers may have been set up. This is from Paul Joseph Watson. Although by no means clear, the words appear to be shouted by the suspects as they come under police gunfire. And we are going to go to that video right now. It's been enhanced, and you can actually hear what they're saying, and it's got subtitles. So here it is. Wow, there you go. Chill out, chill out. We didn't do it. We didn't do it. Hey, officer. So that just adds more confusion to the story. A Facebook post attributed to Dakar Zarnoff, although not authenticated, reads, "This will be the last message before police get me. I've never done it. They set me up. Father, please forgive me. I'm sorry it's come to this." His mother, Zubeded, was saying her sons are innocent, telling it's all lies and hypocrisy. And remember, she was the first person to come out and say, "Hey, these guys are being investigated by the FBI. The FBI interviewed me." And it turns out, well, they had the mother and the older son, Tamerlan, on terrorist watch lists. The Russian government was asking the U.S. government to investigate Tamerlan because he was going to Russia under an assumed name, which you can't do unless you're in some sort of, you know, you have some sort of street cred in the spy agencies. And we're going to have a very interesting interview with a man who doesn't like anybody asking questions other than what's on the official story script. But before we get to that interview, which will be coming up later down the line, we got a special report from Dan Bedondi, who was on the scene the day the bombings happened. He was interviewing people, and here is that video.
This is Dan Bedondi reporting for the InfoWars Nightly News. We're live here in Boston, Massachusetts, where just 2 hours ago, two bombs went off at the end of the finish line at the Boston Marathon. Right behind me is giant tents, medical tents, were set up to help the runners, but they are now being used as hospitals. I counted about 86 ambulances on my way over here. Also seen a number of bomb-sniffing dogs, military and police with fully automatic weapons. I mean, we've got all kinds of government agencies here, local agencies, and so on. And again, behind me, they're still working on people, and it's been over 2 hours since the incident took place.
We were standing in the family and friends area, and I don't know, we heard one bomb go off, and everyone kind of went quiet, and then we heard the next one, and it was just thousands of people, just silence.
We saw one bomb go off, we both saw the finish line, and then we saw another one go off 50 or 100 yards, and we were the next 50 yards.
Well, I mean, it was loud, it thunderous.
It made us, my back still hurts shaking back.
I mean,
we were
100
yards away, but we saw everything big, as tall as the building.
Everyone just rush, run, pandemonium. And I didn't realize at the time, of course, like everyone else, how bad the situation was.
We didn't know for sure what it was. We just heard the noise, and we looked at each other. We were together, thankfully. And it didn't seem like immediately there was any sense of urgency. The people on the bullhorns were still directing people to come out of the area just like they were 5 minutes prior. So we just had a feeling, and so we kind of went the opposite direction of the noises.
It was a herd of people, and then we just were standing there. We didn't know what was going on, and then somebody said, you know, that people who had the cell phones were starting to say there was a bomb, and then the rumors started. You know, there's bodies flying all over the place and things
and
like that.
We heard, turned around, and we saw
everything, yes.
Well, I made it back to my car safely, and I had to get out of that hotel right away because right after that press conference, after I asked the governor and the FBI if this is another stage false flag, then I made my question point blunt again. Why were warnings given to remain calm before the bombs went off? And a spokesman jumped on stage right away. All this press conference is over. I got the look of death, not only from the governor, but the FBI, the ATF, and all the other federal alphabet agencies that were there. So I ran out of there because I don't know what was going to happen. But I ran out of there, and I got snarled at by mainstream media, of course. You know, another conspiracy theorist, you know, even though they were doing drills for the very same thing today. And, you know, the thing is, if they're doing drills and looking for bombs, why didn't they find the bombs, especially at the Boston Marathon finish line? You know, when the bomb-sniffing dogs were right there at the finish line the whole day. You know, and they were doing drills that day. Why didn't the dogs scent that? Why didn't they pick that up? That's the question I want to ask. You know, you can call me a conspiracy theorist, whatever, but I smell false flag written all over this.
Yes, that's a false flag, gentlemen.
This is Dan Bedanti reporting for the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, I tell you, Dan's got a lot of courage. He went to three different press conferences. He stood up. He asked his questions. It didn't bother him that the mainstream media was telling him, sit down, shut up, don't ask questions. That's not on the script we got here. You know, he just asked his questions. Going back to this article from Paul Joseph Watson, Boston Bombers During Shootout, We Didn't Do It. It talks about Tamerlan saying that they're being investigated. His mom was saying they're being investigated by the FBI. His aunt claims the footage of the naked man being arrested was her nephew. Eyewitnesses are saying that the police ran over Tamerlan, not his brother, as they were saying. And despite the FBI showing the images of only two boys with black backpacks, one of which was actually gray, there's numerous pictures of other people with black backpacks. And on top of this, there's the FBI investigations. There's the Russian government asking us to investigate the guy. There's the CIA connections, all this stuff. There's bodies appearing in rivers. But we're not supposed to ask any questions other than how are the victims? That's the only thing we're allowed to ask. And that's, I guess, according to our next guest. And our guest coming up, it's going to be after the segment that I'm going to do with Jakari. We actually recorded the interview earlier, and let me tell you, guys definitely got some issues. Moving on to a story that we've been covering for over a year about these ammo purchases that DHS has been making for, they say, target practice, even though most of the bullets they're buying are hollow point or sniper rifle or semi-automatic. GAO, which is the Government Accountability Office, now investigating DHS ammo purchases. This is out of U.S. News and World Report. Chuck Young, a spokesman for the GAO, says an investigation of the purchases is now underway. And in response to this also, some senators in the House have introduced the Ammo Act, introduced Friday, would prevent agencies from buying more ammunition if stockpiles are greater than what they were in previous administrations. And the Associated Press reported in February that DHS wanted to buy more than 1.6 billion rounds of ammo, but DHS officials testified last week that they were only planning on buying 750 million rounds, which is still enough for a long, protracted war against the American people. And this moves into another story. I think we could just say Obama is the best gun salesman of all time. Backlog on gun orders hits 2 million. Sturm Ruger shipments surpassed 500,000 for the first time in history. While questions continue to swirl about DHS's huge ammo buying spree, Americans are finding it increasingly difficult to obtain firearms, with backlogs surging despite Sturm and Ruger gun shipments surpassing 500,000 for the first time in history. There's also a 2 million backlog on gun owners, a 100% increase from a year ago, and a 40% increase from the previous first quarter. And you can see all the graphs there that they're going up. Now, another issue that we've been reporting on that has crept back up, this is just happening in Texas, but rest assured it's going to be coming to a state near you, is this Animal ID Act, where they want every animal on every farm and every household to have a chip in place. And you're going to have to pay for these chips, and if you don't, you're going to be fined. Our new reporter, Gigi Urneta, covers this story and ties it into also what they want to do to our children in public schools. They want to chip them as well. So this is her first report here with InfoWars Nightly News, and I just say welcome to Gigi Urnetta. Here's that report.
I'm Gigi Urnetta with an InfoWars News Bulletin. Last week, the Texas House of Representatives passed a new bill, the Animal ID Bill, HB 2311, which puts the government one step closer to requiring RFID on every animal in the state. Farmers in other states are already calling it the mark of the beast. The Texas state requirement will be more rigid than federal requirements, and it opens a doorway for adoption of future federal requirements, which could include every animal. Small farmers are already saddled with heavy regulations and fees written by large agribusiness. And this is just another pointless regulation to drive them out of business, killing competition. As with most laws, this has nothing to do with safety, as claimed. Putting a completely new spin on overreaching boundaries, not only are they trying to RFID cattle, but they want to RFID our children. Yes, they're trying to do that through the form of badges that have RFID on them. They claim that it's for safety. Attendance is how public schools get funding. So, of course, they want to RFID chip the children. But this is also training students to never expect privacy and be good citizens of the prison planet. What's the difference between RFID tags around the neck and ankle monitoring bracelets used by probation officers? Heather Fazio, executive director of Texans for Accountable Government, claims that these transponders could also be used by pedophiles to track children.
However, anyone else with an RFID reader that you can buy online for $500 and a little bit of hacker skills to determine the protocol can track these students anywhere they go up to 140 feet. Now, that combined with the information that is made public through the directory information with the school, these predators can go directly to these children's houses with a radiation of 140 feet, they can get the identification number and they can track the student whether they're at the mall, at the library, or at home.
Some students in San Antonio have already started revolting against the new RFID requirement. The government solution was to expel students that wouldn't assimilate to their ways. So the gears of the New World Order are turning. Who's watching your children? For more information on the war on our farmers, check out Farmageddon at InfoWarsStore.com. Do that today. I'm Gigi Urnetta, and that was your InfoWars News Bulletin.
Thank you very much, Gigi Urnetta. That's one of our newest reporters. We have another editor, cameraman starting next week, and we are continuing to grow thanks to your support and thanks to your subscriptions at PrisonPlanet.tv. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please consider getting a subscription to PrisonPlanet.tv. It funds our operation. It helps us bring the news to you without that mainstream media influence. Moving on to our next story. This is from The Hill. Obama warns of challenge in tracking lone wolf terrorists. They're still going with this narrative that these two boys were lone wolves, that there was no connection to the government whatsoever, even though we've got government connections up the wazoo, CIA and FBI. But hey, we're just conspiracy theorists looking at the news and watching the FBI, who's done this countless times before. This is from Obama. One of the dangers we now face are self-radicalized individuals who are already here in the U.S. and on welfare, and in some cases may not be part of any network, Obama said in a White House press conference on Tuesday. Those, in some ways, are more difficult to prevent. Republicans led by Lindsey Graham have been crowing about the U.S. intelligence failure, saying incidents like the Benghazi incident and the Boston Marathon show that little progress has been made with 9/11. And basically, Obama and Lindsey Graham said this: if Benghazi is not an example of system failure before, during, and after the attack, what would be? If Boston is not an example of a pre-9/11 stovepiping mentality, what would be? And Obama said the FBI and Department of Homeland Security thoroughly investigated tips from Russian officials on one of the Boston bombing suspects, but there are limits to how far agencies can go based on such limited intelligence. Right. You know, after the Patriot Act, I mean, what else is there unless we all walk around naked with brain chips stuck in us so the government officials can read our thoughts? Which brings us to our next bulletin from Leanne McAdoo. And this is about the future of crime prevention. According to our public servants / officials, is going to be where they're melding brains with computers. And she's got this report on the future.
I'm Leanne McAdoo, and this is an InfoWars news bulletin. Here at InfoWars, our motto is, there's a war on for your mind. Well, that statement becomes more literal by the day as the human brain becomes the battleground of the future. The New York Times recently ran a story about brain-computer interfaces inching closer to the mainstream. With a simple wink of an eye, you can take a picture using your Google Glass. A mere thought about a human emotion allows you to sift through Flickr photo albums. You can chase zombies or play Tetris on your iPhone, all by using your mind as the joystick. And for now, attaching some sort of cybernetic device to your head to scan your brainwaves. In the right hands, BIC technology could greatly enhance the quality of life for those who've lost limbs or suffer from paralysis. Brain-related diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's could become obsolete with breakthroughs in brain-computer interface technology. But the altruistic potentiality of BICs is overshadowed by DARPA's involvement with the Mind Mapping Project, hinting at the brain's place in the future of warfare. TechCrunch reported last year that scientists were able to extract personal secrets using brainwave reading devices. Will DARPA figure out how to hack the brain on a larger scale? How easy would it be to take down Assad or other dictators if we could just install some malware? Thanks to the cultural permanence of iPhones, computers, and now Google Glass, it'll be easier than ever to penetrate the human mind, which has no firewall. The youngest generation and their perpetual connectedness are the most susceptible to the shadow government. Visit the InfoWars store and pick up a copy of Cats in Black for a fun way to teach your kids about surveillance. I'm Leanne McAdoo, and this has been an InfoWars news bulletin.
There you go, the brain interface, and it's coming soon. Soon they're going to be flying drones with their brains. They're going to be controlling land drones with their brains. I mean, the future is here, is now, and unfortunately it's only going to be used for these insane purposes of killing people and destroying things. Moving on to a Breitbart article, Pentagon taps anti-Christian extremists for religious tolerance policy. This is from Mikey Weinstein. Today we face an incredibly well-funded gangs of fundamentalist Christian monsters who terrorize their fellow Americans by forcing their weaponized and twisted version of Christianity upon their helpless subordinates in a nation of armed forces. Now you could just replace Christian with Jews and you'd be talking 1930s Germany with that type of writing. But hey, the Christians are the hate mongers. That's not hate speech at all, according to his terms. Mikey Weinstein is the founder of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. In a column he wrote for the Huffington Post, he declares, he decrees what he calls virulent religious oppression perpetrated by conservative Christians, who he refers to as monstrosities, pitiable, unconstitutional carpetbaggers, comparing them to bigots in the Deep South during the Civil Rights era. He also endorses the Southern Poverty Law Center, and who publishes a list of hate groups, which include the Tea Party, among other Christian organizations, and they always put that aside, you know, next to the KKK. According to Weinstein, we should, as a nation, effusively applaud Lieutenant Colonel Rich, who we talked about yesterday, who came out. We had an article, Christian identity groups are extremists, saying we as a nation must venture further than Rich's recommendation, saying we must vigorously support the continuing efforts to expose pathologically anti-gay, Islamophobic, and rabid intolerant agitators for what they are, diehard enemies of the United States Constitution. Monsters, one and all. Wow, but that's not hate speech. You know, we should just, you know, this really rings true to the guest we're going to have coming up, Roger Nicholson, who confronted Dan Badandi while Dan was out there talking to people, getting their side of the story. We're actually sending him back to Boston to do some more reporting and track down other individuals who were, you know, basically pulled out of their homes at gunpoint. You know, that wasn't martial law, though. That wasn't anything. That was safety. And I think that takes me back to a Benjamin Franklin quote: "Those who give up liberty for security will get neither, nor do they deserve neither." So, moving on along that same vein of more attacks on people who, you know, have their own beliefs and want to be left alone, National Review critiques Alex Jones as fire and brimstone preacher. Alex Jones is a vexing problem for the neocon and liberal factions of the establishment. This is by Kurt Nemo. They can no longer deny his influence and that enjoys an exponential growth curve. Liberals have tried in vain to undermine Alex's political influence by either lampooning him or dismissing him as a conspiracy loon. This usually draws more people to his website, radio, and television shows instead of sending them away. The neocons over at the National Review Online have devised a different approach. Instead of portraying Jones as a dangerous white ring fanatic, which is what the Southern Poverty Law Center does, the neocons have decided to depict Jones as an analogous, fire-breathing, Bible-thumping Southern preacher. And that story was written by Betsy Woodruff. You can go read her, you know, her total truth, the gospel of Alex Jones. And I like this. It starts off, InfoWars is a misnomer. At its core, 9/11 truther Alex Jones' infamous website is not about info, it's about faith. When all we do is put source after source after source after source. Most of the time, mainstream media. Sometimes citizen journalists on YouTube. But we put the sources out there. And we're not afraid to put them out there. But hey, it's all about faith. You have to take a leap of faith to believe that the DHS is buying over a billion plus bullets. Okay? You have to take a leap of faith in that the FBI had no idea who these guys were when they put their pictures on the TV enlisting the help of the people in Boston. You have to take a leap of faith to believe nobody knew what was going on during 9/11, even though there's countless evidence that we knew who these people were, where they were from, and that they're being trained in the United States. You have to take a leap of faith to believe that Timothy McVeigh was the lone wolf perpetrator of the Oklahoma City attacks. Okay? It's all leap of faith, even though we interview people who were there, who were on the trail of these people, who were on the scene the day of these events. But hey, don't pay any attention to that. We're just making leaps of faith. We're going to make a quick leap to our break. We're going to be back with Jakari Jackson. We're going to talk about another leap of faith, about all these ammo purchases that us crazy conspiracy theorists have. And then after that, we're going to have an interview with Roger Nicholson. And, well, he's going to tell us how crazy we are. Wait till you hear this interview. It's InfoWars Nightly News.
Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources. With over 30 years of experience in the precious metals business, I can tell you without a doubt, we are facing the most dangerous and volatile times, not just in the United States, but worldwide. Peace of mind is gold and silver. Now is the time to invest in gold. When it comes to bullion coins, our prices are competitive and the closest to melt. If it's numismatics you're looking for, we have some of the best deals out there. Visit MidasResources.com today or go to Infowars.com and click on the link to see our daily specials. Here's an example of one of our long-term specials we've been offering for more than a year. Two silver dollars from the turn of the last century, plus two powerful films, The Obama Deception and The American Dream. We also add in the book Dishonest Money, all for $72 and free shipping. The most trusted name in precious metals is Midas Resources. Call 1-800-686-2237 or go to InfoWars.com. I'm Ted Anderson with Midas Resources.
We are now only entering the edge of a global financial superstorm, the likes of which the planet has never seen. Here in the United States, the private Federal Reserve is giving more than $85 billion of taxpayer money a month to themselves and other offshore foreign banks. And the worst part is, we have to pay the bank's interest on the money we give them. There is now a race between the global central bank mafia cartels to see who can devalue their country's currencies the fastest. We are already seeing big increases in inflation at the grocery store and the gas line. This will eventually lead to hyperinflation. More than a dozen top globalists like George Soros have been buying record amounts of gold while at the same time bad-mouthing it to the public. Don't just listen to what they say. Watch what they do. For more than 6,000 years of recorded human history, gold has been the ultimate hedge against uncertain times and inflation. Before investing in metals, it is important to do your own research and find a reputable company. Midas Resources has the highest Better Business Bureau rating of an A+. Unfortunately, very few precious metal companies can boast that. Midas Resources has assembled one of the most educated, researched, and professional teams of brokers in the industry. The evidence is overwhelming. In uncertain times, gold and silver is safe harbor. Now is the time to invest in gold. Call 800-686-2237 and Midas Resources will MLU, 10 reasons to own gold absolutely free. No shipping. It's absolutely free. And finally, Ted Anderson wants to challenge you to find any deal that comes close to his two silver dollars at cost with free shipping, with two free films and a book for $72. That's more than $160 value for $72 shipping included. Click the link at Infowars.com to go to the MidasResources.com specials page. Brought to you by MidasResources.com and Ted Anderson, the trusted name in precious metals.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew. You might remember last segment we covered GAO now investigating DHS ammo purchases. And this goes back all the way back to March 2012 when we were covering these stories as they broke, as they were placing these purchase orders, mostly for hollow point bullets, which they say are for target practice, which I think is a total crock of bull. But what we want to do is take you back from the beginning all the way up to date, and we're sitting here with Jakari Jackson. He's going to do that for us. How's it going, Jakari?
Very well, very well. Now, I have a stack of articles. This is pretty much monthly since March of last year. Now, for the sake of time, we're not going to cover every single month, but we're going to hit the big points and let people know that this is nothing new, that they have billions of bullets. You know, some different sites have different numbers. Some people count this, some people don't count that. But at the end of the day, they have billions of bullets. We're going to start with that right now. Let's go to our first article, guys. DHS and ICE order 450 million rounds of 40 caliber ammo. ATK announced that it is being awarded an indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity agreement from the Department of Homeland Security, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and 40 caliber ammunition. This includes a four option years and will have a maximum volume of 450 million rounds. So just one company, ATK, has 450 million rounds under a four-year option. Now, people always say, well, they don't have them all right now. Well, if you order $450 million or something, you're still going to get it at some time. If you go spend, you know, $450 million over 4 years, you're watching, like, hey, Rob, what are you doing spending all this money?
And that's just the start of it. That was just the first purchase order that we started tracking, and it gets more and more and more. And then we got the tanks, we got the machine guns.
Right, and don't forget about that. We talked about that a little bit yesterday with David Knight. They also have armored personnel carriers and fully automatic assault rifles. We'll talk about that
for personal defense.
For personal defense, if the Department of Homeland Security has them, they're not assault rifles. They're for personal defense.
All right.
We'll talk a little bit about that.
Continue conspiracy theorists.
Okay, yeah, I know I'm wicked conspiracy theorists. Homeland Security buys enough ammo for a seven-year war against the American people. Now, I would like to point out this is as of April of last year, pretty much a year ago. Now it's over a 20-year war. Some people say 30-year war, but we'll go with conservative numbers here because many people can't handle it.
USA,
that's exactly. Testimony by Major General Buford C. Blunt. This is what he had to say. In active battle operations in Iraq, ammunition is expended at the rate of 5.5 million rounds per month. That is 66 million rounds per year. So 66 million rounds in the Iraq war. But you can see DHS is nowhere satisfied with that little number.
First purchase order, 450 million rounds.
Right. And it just keeps on coming. We're going to get to all that. Now, this was the rifles you were referring to, Rob. Mm-hmm. DHS adds high-powered battle rifles to arms buildup. Now, this is one of their earlier purchases. This is July of last year. On July 5th, the Department of Homeland Security announced on FezBizOps.gov that it plans to buy 36 Colt LE-901 rifles. And you say, well, it's only 36. Well, first of all, that number will get much larger as we see time go on. And still, why do they need one rifle? I mean,
Fully automatic rifle.
Why do you need a fully automatic rifle when you say they're too dangerous for the American people to have? So that's one of their deals here. The latest DHS purchase follows a solicitation issued on July 13th for the purchase of .223 caliber Remington enhanced performance ammunition in excess of $500,000. $500,000 of .223 caliber. And actually, I have it right here, Rob. When we went out to the... I know. It's evil. It's wicked. I want everybody to get a shot of that, guys. I'm going to put that right there so you can get it on that camera. So look at that. That's what a .223 round looks like. This is a rifle round, and this is not where it stops. Remember, we started with 40 caliber, and now we have .223 round, and there it is right there. You can see it holding it right there. That's what one looks like. But it doesn't stop there, Rob, so let's keep going on.
Hey, can I buy this off of you?
Yeah, this is probably the only place you can get them, because you go to the sporting goods store now, they don't have anything.
Yeah, I know. And we did a video,
a special report.
Yeah.
Because we went to the stores. Alex went to one of the stores here in town, and he was trying to buy rifle ammunition, and they're saying, hey, we can't sell you anything because we don't have anything, because cops are buying it straight off the truck.
Right. And then Acevedo doesn't have a problem.
Yeah, Acevedo has no problem. Yeah. Our police chief here in Austin getting these rounds right here, but we did. But you guys can watch that on PrisonPlanet.tv in the archives. We'll move on for the sake of time. DHS posts survey prior to bids on 357 SIG duty ammunition. The purpose of this questionnaire is to obtain information on the commercial industry's capability to satisfy the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's requirements for 357 SIG caliber training ammunition. So we see DHS sent out a survey to say, can you guys provide this massive amount of ammunition that we will soon require? And 357 is lauded for its, quote, stopping power, according to the article. So we went from 40 caliber to 223s and now 357s.
Yeah.
And it doesn't stop there. I mean, they're taking pretty much anything that they can get.
It's all for Al-Qaeda.
It's all for Al-Qaeda and people in John Deere hats.
Yeah.
DHS purchases 200 million more rounds of ammunition. So we went from 450 then to more rounds, and now we have an additional 200 million rounds here, Rob. It just does not stop. A series of new solicitations posted on FESBIDS Ops website show that the DHS is looking to purchase 200 million rounds of .223 rifle ammunition over the next 4 years, as well as 176 rounds of .308 caliber and also an additional 25,000 rounds of blank .308. But people will take away from that article, Rob, is they're going to say, well, they're purchasing 25,000 rounds of blanks. Okay, they purchased 25,000 rounds of blanks, but what about the 176 rounds of live ammunition?
Hollow points.
So we go from 40 caliber to 223 to 357 and now 308. 308 is a sniper round for anybody who's not familiar with that, and it's much larger than this, I assure you. I don't know if we have any of those in the studio. We have bullets laying around in the studio. So, all right, we'll move on now. So why did the DHS buy all that ammo? That is a very good question posed in this article. The National Weather Service ordered about 46,000 rounds of 40 caliber hollow point. Why does the National Weather Service need any amount of anything as far as guns are concerned? And also, the Social Security Administration put in an order for 176,000 rounds of 357 SIG jacketed hollow point. Yeah, I'm sure they have a very good reason for requiring such a massive amount of ammunition.
It's probably to get people to pay their Social Security tax, or to maybe give people Social Security numbers. Who knows? I mean, it's ridiculous, though. Who needs those hollow points? They say it's for target practice.
Yeah, right? You don't go out and buy the most expensive thing you can buy for target practice.
Right.
I mean, that's just with anything in life. You know, people, you know, wear crappy shoes when they cut the grass because they don't want to wear the nice shoes out when they cut the grass.
Right.
So why would you buy the most expensive ammunition you can find to go shoot?
Because we're using the American people's money.
USA.
Yeah, USA.
Yeah, but they need those hollow point bullets to shoot at targets of little kids and so on. We'll keep moving. DHS buys 200 million more rounds of ammunition. Now, this is from January of this year. The Department of Homeland Security has awarded a company a contract worth $45,000 to provide the DHS with 200,000 rounds more of bullets. So we see, we just had, what was it, two articles ago, 200,000 rounds of ammunition. Now we have more 200,000 round orders. I mean,
to add to the $1.6 billion that they had already secured.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And they say, well, that's over 5 years. Well, that's enough for a 20-year war.
And that's over 5 years. They're going to keep the shelves empty for the next 5 years. Yeah. If you go to a gun show or gun store now, they don't have any ammunition.
They're getting it trucked over from Russia.
Yeah, pretty much. And the UN Arms Trade Treaty would get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
No international ammunition. Now, this is an article we posted in February of this year. DHS purchases 21.6 million more rounds of ammunition. Now, I want to talk about this for a second. The article reads, the solicitation asked for 10 million pistol cartridge, 40 caliber, jacketed hollow point, 10 million 9mm, and also 1.6 pistol cartridge, 9mm. Now, I had a chance to talk to Paul Joseph Watson earlier today, and I said, Paul, I was looking at your article here, and I couldn't see how he got to the 21.6 million number when I looked at the purchase orders. And he reviewed the document and he said, hey, from the time I've published this article back in February of this year, they've gone in and changed the purchase orders.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul Joseph Watson originally had a document that said the number was much higher than what it currently is. Now he does say that the number is, I believe, 240,000 rounds mm-hmm. for this particular purchase order. Now his other articles we found to be correct, and he wasn't even wrong. He was just quoting numbers that were later changed.
Right.
So definitely be aware of that.
And they're still getting hollow points.
Yeah, I mean...
For target practice.
For target practice. But yeah. Regardless, they still got the bullets, and he wasn't inaccurate in his analysis. They just changed the numbers on them. Now, if we can go to one of our last articles here, this is actually a graph. And I just want people to see this so they can add up for themselves some very conservative numbers. You can see it right there on your screen if we can scroll down a little bit. And you can see on that particular site, the political guide. Those are from March 2012 to September 2012, not even counting some of the more recent entries we had just a second ago. But you can see it right there. If you add up that total number, it's still well over 1 billion rounds. So regardless of if you want to be conservative, if you want to count every single bullet, it's still over a billion rounds, closer to 2 billion. So definitely be aware of that. And those are conservative numbers, as I pointed out. And people say, well, I'm concerned about these people having all these bullets and all this ammunition, but what are we supposed to do? Mm-hmm. We have this article, DHS to meet with congressmen on ammo purchases. Now, this is after a very long time of silence from the Department of Homeland Security. Big Sis
refused
telling,
to answer many times.
Yeah, Big Sis yeah. like won't acknowledge it at all. She dodges
she
the question.
It.
She downplays it. Like,
if,
when and if we decide to tell you about these things, we'll let you know. But a congressman got a, or at least has an interview scheduled. We'll take a look. The Department of Homeland Security has finally answered a letter sent by New Jersey Congressman Leonard Lance by agreeing to meet with the lawmaker and explain why the federal agency is purchasing ammunition in huge quantities. Now, Rob, as far as I know, that meeting has not taken place, and I'm pretty sure they're running him through the ringer, making him hop through flaming hoops of razor wire to get an interview, get a sit down and get some testimony from him. But definitely support this Congressman Leonard Lance. You may not agree with the congressman on everything, but write his office, email him, call him, say, hey, I support you in this endeavor, and make Napolitano answer the questions.
There you go. I totally agree. Thanks for that report, Jakari. Right. And, you know, it comes on the heels of now the GAO is going to do an investigation. So obviously they think there's something up with this.
A lot of people do.
Yeah, and Forbes magazine came out and said it's time to have a national discussion about this.
Pat Robinson.
It's not just us talking about
Sarah
it.
Sarah Palin. Even if you don't like Sarah Palin, I don't like Sarah Palin all the time, but she had enough sense to recognize this issue.
Yeah, this is something. It's not for a buildup for a war overseas. Department of Homeland Security, they operate domestically.
Right.
Now, the only other reason they could be doing this is maybe they're shipping these down to Mexico as part of Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only other thing I could think of. Other than using it on the American people.
That's a very good point, yeah.
So with that, we're going to go to break, and we'll be back. We've got a great interview coming up. We're actually not going to do it in this studio. We taped this interview earlier, and, our brand-new TriCaster decided that both power supplies were just going to go kaput. Now we're back up on our old TriCaster system, and I'm not very impressed with the TriCaster system. We had this system in for a week, had a few glitches here and there, and then all of a sudden we're getting ready to shoot an interview, and boom, it cuts out. We had to go to the radio studio to shoot that interview. So when you come back from break, we'll be in the radio studio, and we're going to interview the guy that confronted Dan Bondi down in Watertown, Massachusetts during the lockdown, which he says there was no lockdown. He claims there was nothing going on, and he was driving around freely and happy. And
even though we heard the testimony, I was monitoring the radio traffic during that time, and a lady was talking to one of the officers. The officer, I guess, was calling his sergeant, whoever. This lady has to get to an animal shelter to feed the animals before they die.
Yeah.
She had to ask permission to go to the animal shelter. It doesn't seem like people were moving around free to me.
Conspiracy theorist. So basically what you're going to hear is that we're all crazy, that we have no idea what's going on, even though we're quoting mainstream news articles, mainstream video sources showing in their own words that the FBI has complicity in past events. So there's no reason why we shouldn't be questioning them on this event, especially when they put pictures up of these suspects and say, these are the only people you should look at. Don't look at any other pictures of anybody with backpacks, even though it's a black backpack here that we're showing you that was blown up. Don't look at anybody else. It's these two guys, even though one of them's got a gray backpack. Don't pay any attention to that. We have an explanation for that. Just listen to us. We're the FBI. You have to trust us. We didn't plan those other 17 events with patsies and informants and our secret agents that we had behind the scenes. I mean, wait till you hear this interview. This guy is just, he's got it all figured out, and we're all crazy kooks for even questioning the government. And we'll be right back. after this short break.
Up next.
And what you say is dangerous, and people like you shouldn't be able to drive a car, much less espouse your opinions in public.
A video of a verbal clash between a foul-mouthed Boston resident and InfoWars reporter Dan Badondi goes viral, and even mainstream. Rob Dew confronts the man behind the camera when we come back up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Authoritarian control freaks throughout history have sought to make populations dependent. The United Nations openly has talked about using food as a weapon against the Third World and the industrialized First World. State Department Memorandum 200, developed by Henry Kissinger, called for destroying the food capacity, not just of the United States, but every country in the world, so they could use food scarcity as a political weapon of control. Just a decade ago, less than 10 million Americans were on food stamps. 4 years ago, it was 25 million. It's now reached almost 50 million. Socialist health care is designed to destroy our health care system. The establishment wants you to be a bunch of cowardly, dumbed-down people who can't stand up for yourselves. That's why they're rushing to try to restrict citizens owning firearms. Because since the early 1990s, gun ownership has gone straight up, while violent crime has gone straight down by 49%. And globalist-controlled strongholds like Chicago and New York, where they've taken the citizens' guns, have the highest crime rates in the world. What am I getting at here? The system doesn't want you to be self-sufficient. That's why I promote the fact that you should go out, buy firearms, and go take lessons and learn how to use them. I want you to stand up for your birthright of liberty and freedom. During a serious meltdown, they're going to tell you, hey, you want food? Turn in your guns. And that's why we need to put the globalists in check. And then finally bring them to checkmate by being self-sufficient, by being prepared, by having a garden, by learning how to can your own foods, by having friends and family and community that will stand together. But at the heart of that is having quality, storable foods. And that's why I went out more than a decade ago and found the very best food company to be my sponsor, eFoods Direct. They're the company that I personally use for my emergency food storage preparation, whether it be for natural disasters or the tyranny that is intensifying. So give them a call, 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. Or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the weekly and monthly specials. But they're always running the specials where you can get the free six meals and the eFoods Direct audio CD put together by the experts in storable foods to answer all your questions, the eFoods planning guide, the eFoods brochure, the eFoods catalog, plus six free meals, creamy potato soup, tortilla soup, and cheesy chicken rice, so you can sample the high-quality storable foods from eFoods Direct. They've got a bunch of other specials.
The two-week food supply provides one adult with 81 servings of healthy, delicious, storable food for 14 days.
The one-month food supply provides 192 servings for 28 days.
And then there's the one-month family food pack. It will change the way you look at the food in your pantry. Every time you eat one of these meals, you are eating healthy, delicious food and saving a lot of money.
The three-month food supply, 576 servings of storable food for 91 days.
And the one-year food supply will provide you with 2,304 servings of healthy, delicious, storable food for one full year.
Your meals are as delicious and nutritious tonight as they'll be in 25 years.
Bottom line, there's a bunch of specials at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can also call them at the toll-free number on your screen, and they can send you a catalog with all the specials detailed and tell you about the weekly and monthly specials that they're always running. eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find all the specials or call the toll-free number. And so in closing, when you buy from eFoodsDirect.com, you are supporting the radio broadcast, the nightly news, the magazine, the films, and everything we're doing. Because we're not like MSNBC or Media Matters that get government and corporate funding to bring down America and bring in tyranny. We are funded by our sponsors and you, the viewers and listeners, that support them. Again, that's eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or 800-409-5633. And we are also visiting Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. You can click on the banners to take you to the weekly and monthly specials. It's like the Hank Williams Jr. song, A Country Boy Can Survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run because these boys were raised on shotguns. Well, there aren't really a lot of good old boys left anymore, are there? And those that are out there are demonized and are enemy number one by Homeland Security. And good old boys come in all shapes, colors, and sizes. They're people that aren't chumps who understand that they're going to take care of their family and that nobody else is. They're people that understand that if somebody else is taking care of them, that makes them a slave. And that the government doesn't want you dependent because they want to build a great future for you. They want to get you dependent so they can social engineer us. So the answer is get self-sufficient, become men again, and tell the New World Order to go straight to hell. Alex Jones signing off for Infowars.com and eFoods Direct, our great sponsor.
Welcome back to Infowars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Due. And our next guest has a video circulating viral. It was actually covered on Huffington Post today in their media section. Infowars confrontation, Boston resident blasts Dan Bondi over marathon bombing conspiracy theories. And it has a video. And we're going to go to a short clip of this. It's pretty long. It's got a lot of cursing in it. So we're not going to play those sections. But here's the video, and then we're going to bring on the guest.
Yeah, you're trying to what? You're trying to, like, put more right-wing conspiracy theories? You're not covering what's going on here. Your boy said this was a false flag. The bomb that blew up people was a false flag. What is that supposed to mean? No, the FBI's behind the bombing. That's what you're here to cover. And that's why I'm the asshole. Because the FBI blew up those people at the Boston Marathon. That's right. That's because you're a dope. And what you say is dangerous, and people like you shouldn't be able to drive a car, much less espouse your opinions in public. But we have a First Amendment. We got to protect it.
All right. We have a First Amendment. We got to protect it. The one redeeming quality in that video. And we have the man behind the camera right now, Roger Nicholson. He's a musician, a gonzo journalist. He said he's a self-seeker. And, I wanted to give him a chance to come on and talk about, you know, his feelings about this whole thing and see if maybe we could show him the stuff we have. And, we'll take it from there. His Facebook is PitPat71, so you can check that out. Roger, how are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you.
All right. So what day did that confrontation take place?
That was Friday. That was when our city was on a lockdown, allegedly, according to you guys. That's when no one could leave their apartments and everyone was being terrorized by the police. But that was actually, that was Friday. That was the day I left my apartment and went over to my old neighborhood where I used to live in Cambridge, in East Cambridge, and went to go see what was going on. That's when I was driving around Watertown under this martial law. So there you go.
So you actually, you went against police wishes for a lockdown.
There was no police wishes that way. The people who were in Watertown, and I've lived there, my dear friends live there, one of my best friends' mother's a city councilor in Watertown. The reason people were in their houses was because some maniac with a guy, gun, they said assault rifles, they weren't sure, with bombs, was walking around their neighborhood, so they're like, look, don't go outside till we catch the guy. And if you had known what it was like to live in Boston that night, I was listening to the scanner the whole night, it was insane. It was the most crazy thing I've ever heard. And there was, I heard the scanner, the police were screaming about bombs going off. I live 3 miles away and I heard one of the bombs go off from the shootout. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it wasn't martial law. It was people trying not to get killed by some crazy kill for Allah son of a walking through the neighborhood. So anyway, just wanted to clear that up.
Okay, no, that's great. And then how did you come in contact with Dan? Did you see him and seek him out, or did you just happen to run into him?
I was getting pictures. I was like doing my own little whatever. I was getting pictures of covering it my own way. I'm very curious. I like to go and, you know, explore, see what's going on. And I went down to Watertown. I watched Deval Patrick make the speech, the press conference over by the Arsenal Mall. And then I went down to Cambridge because I lived 100 feet from those kids 2 years before that. I lived there. That was my neighborhood for almost 20 years. And I lived right next, like 100 feet from those kids. I never met them, but, you know, so I was like curious. And I saw him, Dan, walking around with his camera, and I was like, that's the guy who's been interrupting the press conference with his nonsense. And I got kind of incensed. And, you know, he would, by the way, I need to say this. Dan, I've since spoken to him after this, and I believe that Dan has got a good heart, and I think he's a good man. I think he's been misled, and I think the intoxicating effect of being an info warrior and having your whole persona wrapped up into that has corrupted him, but I think he's a good person, and I think his heart is good. But, you know, I think a lot of other people that follow Alex Jones are obviously, they've been indoctrinated in their own way. So, anyway, I'm getting off the subject.
Well, I think people get indoctrinated into different things. You could be totally into sports. You could be totally into the system, or you could be totally questioning the system. And we question that system a lot.
Well, I understand that you guys think there's some nobility and something of merit what you're doing, but you know, you come off to me as anti-patriots, un-American, and that keep this country from unifying, which is not what anybody wants. And I really believe that I've said this on Martin Beshear, that I think that InfoWars has become the Westboro Baptist Church of journalism, and I think you guys are completely out of your minds, and that's the way I feel. And I know I can say that because I'm sane and I'm self-aware. So believe me, you're taking it from a guy who does a lot of self-assessment. You guys are crazy, and it's all right, but you're making things difficult on people who aren't crazy.
Okay. Well, let's talk about a few things that you say we're crazy about, which is possible FBI involvement or FBI stand downs, or, you know, basically the fact that the FBI was watching these guys for at least 2 years, probably 5 years before the bombings took place.
Okay.
Now,
there's a bank robber who lives down the street. What, do you got to watch him every 5 seconds to make sure he doesn't rob a bank? How are you gonna like do this? I'm not like, by the way, I'm really anti-jihadist Muslim. I'm like, people think I'm like some racist, excuse me, because I'm so anti-jihadist, but I think they're terrible.
Well, not many bank robbers are warned by the Russian government about people who enter their country.
Right. But that's fine. But what are you going to do? You throw them out because they're like insane and they're crazy and they're like religious zealots. Even I, who am against those religions and the way people take them, even I know you can't throw anyone out of the country because that's not you can't throw someone out because they're a crazy lunatic.
I'm not talking about throwing them out of the country.
Put all you people from InfoWars, if we throw people out of the country being crazy and lunatics, we'd have no place to put all you people.
No, so are you talking about the Piers Morgan petition?
Piers Morgan's, he's more patriotic and American than you guys. Just want you to know that.
Really?
He's a Brit. Yeah, he's a better American than you.
Yeah. So you're not for the Second Amendment then, are you?
No, I'm totally for, you know, look at my Facebook page. I got an AR-15 and a 357 in my hand. I'm totally Second Amendment, but I want these lunatics, background checks. You should make it harder for people to get guns because obviously people are misusing them. And people, the dumbest people in the world own guns. The dumbest people in the world own guns. Look at YouTube. Watch people, these rednecks playing with their guns and how stupid they are. And you just want these people like, yeah, here, have a gun. It's like, I don't want like 5-year-olds driving a car. It's like, you got it. And some of these people are mentally 5 years old and I don't want them having a gun. They got to prove that they're responsible for a gun. You can't just give everyone a goddamn hand cannon and be like, yeah, this is like not a suicide pact. That's what it is.
All right. Well, I've let you talk there. I didn't want to interrupt you. Let's go back to the FBI. They put pictures of these guys on there, on the TV, in front of the media, saying, we don't know who these guys are. We think these are the bombers. These are the only pictures you should look at. Don't look at any other pictures. Yet they had been watching these guys. They've been contacted by the Russian government, and the mother claims, who said she was the one who broke the news, saying that they were being watched by the FBI. She also said the FBI called her sons after the bombing. So why are they acting like they don't know who these guys are?
That moron mother is not exactly credible in my book. Okay?
Well, she broke the FBI stories, and when the FBI was asked about it, they initially denied it, and then they came back and said, oh, yeah, we were watching these guys since 2011.
No, you know what? You're right. They did plant the bomb. They blew those people up. So, yeah.
I'm not saying that.
Well, that's what Dan was saying. That's what everyone, that, these crisis actors, that's offensive because, and I don't mean that in a way where in a liberal, oh my God, that's offensive. I don't mean it that way. I mean offensive in, my friend Tracy almost was 20 feet from a bomb and almost died. She was so close to that explosion. She ran for the fear of her life and saw a 7-year-old little girl got her leg blown off and her brother, the little girl's brother was already killed and she held this girl's head while they were trying to stop her bleeding, a 7-year-old, and you're calling this little girl with her leg blown off a crisis actor and my friend Tracy a crisis actor and Jeff Bowman who got his legs blown off as a crisis actor. That comes from you guys.
No,
and that's what you
that
guys
doesn't come from us. I think you're projecting that onto us. We never mentioned, there's plenty of people out there that have said crisis actors and we've interviewed some people about that in terms of Sandy Hook in the past. What?
You guys invented this crisis that Sandy Hook parents
no,
are.
No, we did not invent that. That comes out from people on the internet looking at stuff. And you can actually find, you can find pictures out there where they've taken amputees and dressed them up as battle wound victims. They do it with the army all the time.
That's offensive. Not in a way where you tell a black racist joke offensive. That's offensive. Like you think I'm so stupid and or you must think I'm brain damaged where I'm going to believe that. So that's where like, this is where you and I
think we're going to pull up the picture now. We're going to pull up the picture now of crisis actors being used, amputees being used in crisis act. I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just saying you're saying that's a complete conspiracy theory that there's no such thing as crisis actors.
That's not what happened in Boston. And that tragedy in Boston is not show material for InfoWars, which is what you want to make it.
No.
Show material.
We came
it's
out.
Like, look, exploit the victims. That's fine. But that, you can swim in that. I don't.
Look, we came out in the beginning and said, if there's a drill, then there's probably some either provocateur or they knew about it or they even helped it happen. And we have plenty of evidence that the FBI has done this in the past. I want to go to a video real quick. This is a horrible conspiracy theorist, Judge Andrew Napolitano. Just listen to what he says. This is cut up from a larger piece. But
he's like, he looks like the monsters.
Okay, well, let's hear what he has to say.
Can the federal government take credit for saving us from a plot of its own creation? The FBI has foiled about 17 plots to kill Americans during the past 10 years. They all have a common and reprehensible thread. They were planned, plotted, controlled, and carried out by the federal government itself. In all these cases, agents worked undercover and portrayed themselves to the targets as Arabs of like un-American mind.
So it goes longer, but what happened was they had either agents going in, undercover agents that they were FBI agents that were going in provoking these guys, saying, hey, we'll get you the bomb, we'll get you the supplies, we'll get you the detonators, or they had guys that they had already busted on something else and saying, hey, we want you to go find people and bring them to us. They created 17 separate plots. I know you don't want to believe that.
When I was a kid, all the people with conspiracy theories were hippies who smoked too much weed.
Uh-huh.
And now it's like, it's, which I find an unmanly, I'm not the most masculine person in the world, and your fans have let me know how effeminate I am, but that's unmanly, those hippies with other conspiracy theories about the government. And the only thing about, and I find it unmanly to be so conspiracy oriented, but the thing is about you people, you don't smoke weed, you guys play with guns. So that's what makes you guys dangerous, and like, you scare people like regular normal Americans. So I just thought you should just know that.
Okay.
That's
how. Well, thanks for letting us know that. I also want to point you to a New York Times article, Terrorist Plots Hatched by the FBI, which also talks about all that, too. So it's in the New York Times, not just InfoWars.
I'm glad that you've gotten down to the bottom of the FBI as the ones that are, like, terrorizing Americans.
So you think that's okay that the FBI that they set up terror plots?
I have this information in front of me, and I don't believe your version of what you're saying. So you can't just like ask me what I feel about an article that you've read that I have no access to and haven't read. And you know, you can't like really like throw that on me and expect me to have an answer, but you can say like I'm part of the conspiracy, whatever. I don't care. But
I'm not saying you're part of a conspiracy. I'm just trying to educate you, brother. That's all I'm trying to do.
Don't believe me. I have my IQ is about 130. Well, it depends on what internet I take it on, but I'm about 130. So my IQ is I'm pretty sharp. Believe me, and you can try to educate me, but I'm very good at doing that myself.
Does your high IQ preclude you from looking at different scenarios that might involve the FBI?
You can give me scenarios, but you also tell me that Vin Diesel's in a movie, and I already know the movie sucks because Vin Diesel's in it. So when you come up with like, oh, read this conspiracy theory, it's from InfoWars. I'm like, it's from Alex Jones.
Yeah, New York Times.
That's garbage. You
here's,
can't read it.
Here's the Washington Post. Anti-terror task force warned of Tamerlan Tsarnaev's long trip to Russia. This was the trip that the Russians actually called the United States about and said, hey, why is this guy getting in and out of our country under an assumed name? There it is right
listen,
there.
I'm like, listen, I'm not saying that they handled it. This perfectly, but what are you going to do? Crawl up his ass with a microscope because he went to Russia? I'm not, listen, I'm against, but see, that's the thing. You're trying to make it sound like he's not the guy who blew up the bombs, but he had pictures of him doing it. But of course, your pictures say something totally
you know,
different.
They so say they have pictures of him carrying backpacks. They have not shown us pictures of them dropping the bombs. Even the governor of Massachusetts, Deval Patrick, wait, one second, when asked, did he see the video? He said, no, it was described to me by the FBI.
You know, it's all going to come out. Like, they don't, they're not going to give you everything. It'll come out in court. You'll see. Uh-huh.
Yeah, just like the security cameras at Oklahoma City.
I live in a great place. I live in America. I love my country. I have to deal with some left-wing nudniks. And I have to deal with some of you people who uh-huh. run your mouth. And it's okay. I live in a great American place. I love my country. I'm a patriot. I love America, even though people act like they are patriotic and they're not. So we'll have to put up with you people. I really wish that the people who follow you and pay money to watch your – would get mental health because it's like their mental illness is like a rash, and Alex Jones is the hand that's scratching it. So they're just feeding into their being unwell with this.
So being patriotic is bowing down to the government, whatever they wish. If they want to come to your house and say
– not coming up, he's not saying the government's trying to kill me and coming up with every cockamamie excuse and conspiracy theory. Being paranoid and ridiculous is not a patriotic act. And I'm not one of those people. You guys are paranoid and you're ridiculous. So whatever. Send your
I'm backing it all up right here.
I'm not bowing to anyone. I don't know what you think, who you think I'm bowing to, but I don't bow to anybody.
Well, you're saying you're patriotic and we're not, so I'm trying to find out why you're saying that.
You guys are more interested in finding out what's wrong with everything, and you guys are more interested in perpetuating this paranoia. It's a secondary game.
Hey, if the FBI is planning and taking part in terror plots, I would like to know that.
You guys feel like you are.
Hey, guess what? My uncle was an FBI agent. I could sit there and claim that I have a dog in the fight too.
It's like when people say the operation, we're saving children from being murdered. Like, you know, it's like you guys. It's a little over the top. It's not really, abortions aren't really saving babies. It's not like they're slaughtering like infants that are toddlers walking around. So it's like you guys, you put yourself up as these noble, heroic men, and you're just so great. You're the only ones who understand the Constitution. And all the people I talk to are either really kind of stupid or they're mentally unstable. And anyone else is
reading articles,
making them
mentally unstable. You're right.
Yes. And you know who's the big one? Is that Alex Jones. He's the guy who's the most unstable. But he's like Hitler with a little softer version of it.
We might edit just that little part out that you said. That's pretty ridiculous.
He's like crazy.
Boston Marathon bombs. Tamerlan Tsarnaev interviewed by the FBI in 2011. Yet they put his picture on.
You can't let Alex Jones know that I think he's insane and that he's Hitlerian. You can't let him know that.
Sure, he's going to watch this interview.
Well, Alex Jones can kiss my ass in Macy's window. And you can bleep that, but I think is okay to say. So
yeah, that's
go.
Okay to say. Hey, what do you think about what do you think about Bill Maher coming out and saying it was a police state in Boston? He's a pretty liberal guy.
Bill Maher is another one who like sticks his foot in his mouth when he gets a little full of his rhetoric and he goes too far. Okay. So he said that dropping bombs on, we were cowardly for dropping bombs on Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan back then when he got thrown up there, and I thought that was kind of lame. If I wear a helmet to battle, am I being a coward because I'm protecting myself? You drop a bomb on somebody, that's a smart way to fight a war.
Around a gun though, does that make you crazy? Why does carrying around a gun make you crazy?
Some people are crazy and shouldn't carry guns, dude. Some people shouldn't be driving around. Some people should not be driving cars because they're irresponsible or they're getting drunk or something. Not everybody. Instruments can kill people. You have to be super responsible to have one of those. You can't just let every, it's like dumbass.
Well, who gets to decide who's responsible? You?
Well, no, listen, but yes, yeah, somebody's got to set a standard.
Okay.
And it's a little bit too, the standard's way too loose. I'm saying if you want, own a gun, you should be a deputy. That you should go through training and be responsible and not just be some yahoo who likes to get drunk and shoot your gun in the air, which I've done, by the way. I'm a hick. I'm from upstate New York. We grew up with a gun in the house. I've shot guns. I love guns, but I don't love them enough to like think that everybody should be able to like slaughtering people. And you know, there's just a limit to what like I think. I love guns, but who gives a crap if what I like?
All right.
You know what I mean? I used to really like cocaine. I'm glad that's not legal. So there you go.
Speaking of bombs, the World Trade Center. Do you remember the World Trade Center bombing in '93?
Oh yeah, I totally remember that.
Yeah.
And what are you going to say? That was a government conspiracy too.
Well, no, I'm not going to say it. I'm actually going to let Dan Rather say it. Let's roll the clip.
Dan Rather,
who gives
a crap?
Last winter, the FBI was praised for its speed in cracking the case of the World Trade Center bombing and bringing four suspects to trial. Now, there is some evidence that the FBI may have known of the plot in advance through an informant and might even have stopped the bombing that killed six people. Correspondent Jacqueline Adams has the story.
FBI agents might have been able to prevent last February's deadly explosion at New York's World Trade Center. They discussed secretly substituting harmless powder for the explosives, but they didn't, according to the FBI's own informant, Imad Salem. Unbeknownst to the FBI at the time, Salem recorded many of his conversations with his handlers.
I'm holding 903 pages of transcripts.
I'm talking about Salam. So Salam was this informant.
Do you only use the news? Do you only quote the news when you agree with them? Because then everything else is like conspiracy and the news is like...
No, because this only came out one or two times in the news and then it was quickly quieted down. Just like the stuff that went on with the underwear bomber. We can get into that if you want to. But I want to read you a couple things.
There's a book by Carl Sagan called The Demon Haunted World, and it talks about people with their kooky ideas. Uh-huh. And there's also a book I read that had your buddy there, Alex Jones, in it, about all these people that think like the world is run by 12 people in a dark room and somewhere underground.
Yeah,
and,
actually,
you know,
I think that just came out in a Rolling Stone magazine. Matt Taibbi wrote that, and he actually said, we're right, it is a giant conspiracy with the financial games. But here,
so Rolling Stone's not the last word on the truth either.
I'm not saying it is, but I'm just saying what other people are saying. Frustrated, Salam told one FBI agent, you were informed, everything is ready. And this is an article, not by us, it's from the online journal, Why the FBI Got Away with the First World Trade Center Bombing. I'll send you all these, don't worry. You were informed, everything is ready. The day and the time, book, lock them up, that's it. That's why I feel so bad. This is what he's saying on tapes to the FBI. Another tape revealed Salam asking an FBI agent, do you deny your supervisor is the main reason of the bombing of the World Trade Center? The agent did not deny Salam's charge. Shortly after the bombing, FBI agent Nancy Floyd confided in Salam that her supervisors botched the case. I felt that the people on the squad, that they didn't have a clue how to operate things, that the supervisors didn't know what was going on, and they didn't take the time to learn the history. Basically, what they did was provide a van, explosives, and a detonator to these guys to go drive into the World Trade Center, saying it was going to be fake and they were going to stop them, but they wanted to bust this network up. This is their MO, and this is what they do time and time again. And I'm sorry you can't see that, and you don't like it when people ask questions. And just because you...
Listen, I don't mind people asking questions. It's when they ask retarded questions, you get retarded answers, and that's what you get. So that's what you ask, and there you go. So
he asked a question if it was a false flag. He asked him straight up. He didn't try to hide it with anything.
It's kind of like when people get too into Jesus or too into Allah or whatever, or too into AA, they just become like, they become stage two in their personal growth. And it's going to take a lot of like time and critical thinking for you guys to work out of your, and most of you don't have a prayer. You guys are done. You guys will can stay in a stage two state of mind, and you can go look that up what that is.
Okay.
But that's where you guys suffer from. I'm dealing with someone indoctrinated, and that's fine. And this is fun, and you guys made a cottage industry out of it, and this is your whole identity is about this. But I live in a great country, and I love my country, and you guys are making it suck, but I'm here to make it better, and there you go. So I don't know what to say, but keep spinning your wheels in the mud and keep trying to find that phantom and that big boogeyman of the FBI. Because I don't live in that world. I live in America, and I love my country, and I'm a patriot, and that's all there is to it. So,
Do you support the bombing? You support the bombing of with drones? You support that and the killing of little children across the world?
Black skies with drones. You're damn right, I do.
Yeah.
I do. And I'm all about whacking evildoers and
whacking evildoers. Even if we create them, even if we give them the money, even if we fund them.
You know what, you guys?
It's all fake, brother. The whole world you're told about is a total dream.
When are you going to
I think you're the one living in the dream world.
I'm not living in a dream world. My eyes are wide awake.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can say. No, I'm used to this stuff.
And you like having troops on the streets. That makes you feel safe, doesn't it?
What makes me feel safe?
Having troops on the streets.
When there's an armed, like, terrorist through my neighborhood, you're right it does. Who else do I want? You morons with your guns?
An unarmed 19-year-old?
I want... Whatever, dude. Unarmed.
And now there's tape of him coming out...
Just so you know, I talk to people that live there who are watching out their windows, and they're not like part of, these are like family members. There's an old couple that live there, and they came home for vacation, and then they're looking at the guys, both of them shooting at the cops. Like, so don't tell me like, oh, he's unarmed. He had something, he was armed with something when he went out, when he was shooting at the cops. He wasn't using his finger. So don't give me this crap and like, and make things up and like change.
I'm not making anything up. They found him unarmed. And at first they reported he had an M4 in the boat with him, and then when they found him, he didn't have a gun.
Oh, so, well, whatever. I don't know.
And then they cut his throat up so he can't talk.
Apprehending the suspect. I was not privy, but I do know that I live two doors away from that house where the boat was. So I know exactly that, that neighborhood. And it's just, I don't know. I know a lot more about this than you might think I do. But whatever. I know like the real stuff that you've already refuted is you say it's conspiracy. It's not true. But, you know, that's fine. But the thing is that the problem that I have with InfoWars, and Dan, as I said, is a sweet guy. He just doesn't have a mental defense against the allure of this, of having the power of influence over people, and a bunch of people patting him on the back saying, you're doing a great job by asking stupid questions to the governor of Massachusetts. And it's just hijacking a press conference the way these sons of did back in, for like a Boston, non-stop flight from Boston to LA back in 2001. That's how you guys, this is just, you're just, whatever. You guys are having fun. Probably a lot of you are into malicious stuff. You're all into this gunplay. I get it. You guys are real patriots. You're real he-men and all that. And you guys know what's really going on. But none of you are bright. The only one who's smart is Alex. He's probably the smartest one because he's the most charismatic. But he's also nuts. He's untreated. He's got untreated schizophrenia. So, I mean, he's got to get that. He's got to get on top of that.
Well, let's hope they don't put you in charge of who's crazy and who isn't in this world.
Listen,
or who gets to own guns in this world.
I know who's crazy. I'm plenty exposed to crazy people. Don't worry about that.
All right. Well, that was Roger Nicholson. And you can chat with him on Facebook at PitPat71. That was very interesting. He's got a lot of anger. He's mad, which rightfully so. I'd be mad too if people, especially if the FBI, and we're gonna find out who is behind this, and we're gonna put it out there, whether people like Roger like it or not, and we're gonna ask questions to our government officials, our public servants, whether he likes it or not, and we're gonna keep doing it. We're not gonna stop. And these questions need to be asked. Notice how they stopped the press conferences really quick when Dan started asking questions about prior knowledge and other photos and false flags. They didn't want to talk about that stuff. They didn't want to talk about drills being done beforehand. They didn't want to talk about any of that. They wanted to run. As soon as those questions were asked, they only want to go by the script. I want to end quickly with a video from, I think this is from Robert Gibbs, who's was the press secretary for Obama. And he was told not to talk about the drone program. That just shows this is what our government likes to do. They like to say, don't talk about this. This is off the table. And here's that clip.
When I went through the process of becoming press secretary, one of the first things they told me was, you're not even to acknowledge the drone program. You're not even to discuss that it exists. Wow. And so I would get a question like that, and literally I couldn't tell you what major asked, because once I figured out it was about the drone program, I realized I'm not supposed to talk about it. But here's what's inherently crazy about that proposition. You're being asked a question based on reporting of a program that exists, right?
Yeah, there
so
you go.
You're the official government spokesperson.
Exactly.
Acting
so,
as if,
you know, we're not supposed to ask questions because we're crazy and we like guns. That's basically what we got from Roger Nicholson. And, you know, I didn't even bring up one InfoWars article. I have one here, but it links to other things. Tamerlan Zarnoff attended CIA-sponsored workshop. It's from Kurt Nemo. It links to Izvestia. Tamerlan Zarneva recruited via the Georgian Foundation. But let's look at all the rest of these. Boston Bomb Marathon, Tamerlan Zarnoff interviewed by FBI in 2011. Senator Chambliss, the intelligence may have known about the bombings in advance. Bomb informers tape, this is about World Trade Center 7, but this is a good one. Bomb informers tapes give rare glimpse of FBI dealings. Yeah, we like to cook bombs and train the drivers and give them the van and get them in there. Here's another one. We linked to this, but you can no longer find it on Online Journal. Why the FBI got away with the first World Trade Center bombing. There's the Huffington Post article. Washington Post, anti-terror task force was warned of Tamerlan Zarnoff's long trip to Russia. Total conspiracy theory. New York Times, terrorist plots hatched by the FBI, talks about all the fake bombings that were brought on by informants. Russia warned FBI about bomber multiple times. But the feds are more interested in Al-Qaeda than Chechens. And let's see if we got anything else. I think that's it. So that's what I brought to the table. He didn't really want to bring anything to the table. He just wanted to call us crazy, which is, you know, that's what they're doing right now. He is a product of his media. He was very happy that he was on MSNBC because that's who he looks up to. He looks up to GE, the company that brings big bombs to life and drones to life and then uses them to bomb other countries, yet over lies. You know, you can go back to the Iraq War. Lie. 9/11. Well, if you believe in the official story, they were all from Saudi Arabia, or at least most of them were. Yeah, just read the comic book that they put out. So, there you go. I encourage you, send, what was his name, Richard? Roger. Roger Nicholson. Send Roger Nicholson some love via Facebook. Send him some knowledge. Don't be mean to him. He obviously needs to be educated a little bit, although he thinks he's found the truth and he knows exactly what it is. And he seems to like troops on the streets. And even though he was running around busting, I think they said secure in home is what they called it. And that was the order they put up. They wanted people to stay in their homes and not go out and then let cops come in there and pull people out.
We're asking people to shelter in place. In other words, to stay indoors with their doors locked and not to open the door for anyone other than a properly identified law enforcement officer. And that applies here in Watertown, where we are right now. Also Cambridge, Waltham, Newton, Belmont, and at this point, all of Boston. All of Boston.
Shelter in place is what they called it. Shelter in place. Did we roll any of the footage of the cops, like, knocking people over and making them stick their hands up? Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. That was our interview, and that's our show. We'll be back tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Central. It's the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew. It's been quite a pleasure talking to the interesting people out there that think we're all crazy, and yet they're all sane, and they don't want to believe stuff when it's right in front of their eyes. Thank you, and good night.